This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, I was reading an app this morning that apparently can produce 64,000 recipes for kosher cheesecake.
Oh my gosh.
For Shavuot. So just in case anybody's short of a few ideas. Mm. Yeah, just a little app that will send you your diet into an absolute tizzy. Yeah. And of course, the whole Ron DeSantis story, very interesting. We're not going to talk much about it now. He was in Israel recently. He is highly controversial. He is considered to be friendly towards Israel and a friend of the Jews, but also has kind of got some skeletons in the closet. He's got some issues. And sometimes you wonder whether you want these people to be your friends or not, because of course you get associated with them. But no doubt we will have a lot to talk about as we get nearer to the US elections. And just another little snippet, ecological issue happening in the Bay of Eilat. And this is as a result of a whole population of black sea urchin, which live on the coral reefs, which are just off the coast of Eilat. The whole population has been wiped out in just a few weeks. Suspected pathogenic parasite has been the cause, apparently, of this illness that seems to have wiped out the entire population of these black sea urchins. And this is a very significant ecological disaster for Eilat Bay, because these sea urchins live on those coral reefs and they eat algae. And that prevents the algae from growing over the coral reef and preventing the sun from getting to the coral reef, which of course is really, really important to keep that coral reef alive. So now there is a significant concern that as a result of the lack of these black sea urchins on those coral reefs, that the algae may take over and may ultimately kill off the coral reef entirely, something which apparently has happened in other places around the world. Right. We understand that this issue of the black sea urchins is not unique to Eilat Bay or to the Israeli coast, but apparently other die-offs have happened in other Red Sea countries such as Egypt and Saudi Arabia. And in fact, there have been evidence of a similar die-offs in Caribbean, off the Caribbean islands, where apparently some of the coral reefs have actually died as a result of the algae completely taking over the coral reef and preventing the sun from getting there. So just some interesting ecological issues that ecologists in Israel are currently facing. They are thinking about banning the fishing of certain species of fish in the area, which apparently algae eaters, to try somehow to rebalance this issue. Mm. But yeah, for those who are interested in coral reefs and ecological issues, this is certainly going to be something to watch and will be challenging for Israeli ecologists.
Yeah, indeed. The U.S. has denounced comments made by Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. What did the U.S. find offensive, Anthony?
So these were comments that Mahmoud Abbas made during his address to the United Nations, which took place on the 15th of May, the so-called Nakba Day presentation that he made to the United Nations. And of course, the Nakba Day marks, at least for the Palestinians, what they call the catastrophe of Israel's creation. And I had a lot to say about the fact that part of this catastrophe might have well been self-inflicted by the Arab nations not being willing to accept the United Nations partition plan of 1947. However, during his address to the United Nations, he suggested that the United States has been a great supporter of the Israeli idea, the Israeli state, and the idea of a Jewish state in Israel, because the United States, apparently, according to the words of Abbas, wanted to try and get rid of the Jews in the United States, effectively sending them to Israel to try and get them off U.S. shore. That was, those were the comments that Abbas made during his presentation to the United Nations. And so, of course, the United States has found this extremely offensive. And in fact, the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, said yesterday that she denounced these comments as being anti-Semitic and racist rhetoric fueling Israeli-Palestinian violence. That's the way that she described those comments. And, of course, found it very offensive that the United States should be accused of wanting to get rid of the Jews living in the United States and therefore supporting the idea of Israel in a bid somehow to get rid of the Jews from the United States.
All he's saying is what he would love to do is, you know, and he couldn't, you know, he really couldn't blame America for wanting to get rid of the Jews. He wants to get rid of the Jews. So it kind of makes perfect sense in his world, in a way, in a weird
Well,
sort of
I mean,
way.
He doesn't really, well, in terms of, you know, Jews at least living within the Palestinian Authority area, we already know that that doesn't exist. Mm. And in fact, for Jews to even visit the Palestinian Authority area is something that we can't do safely. And it's one of those real contradictions that we find where Israel is constantly being blamed for all kinds of issues, treatment of the Palestinian Authority area. And yet we have many, many residents, citizens from that area coming to Israel to work, to visit, to shop in our malls, to drink coffee in our coffee shops, and there's no reason why they shouldn't do that. And none of them are subject to any safety issues as a result of them coming into Israel, to Israeli towns and cities in order to partake. And yet Israeli citizens are not allowed to go to the Palestinian Authority area. That ban has really been placed upon us by Israeli security services because of the fact that it is simply unsafe and the security services don't want to have the responsibility for citizens, civilians roaming around unsafe areas within the Palestinian Authority area and then having to be called upon in order to rescue them in the case of something happening. So it is one of those dilemmas, those contradictions that currently exist at the moment, but certainly the United States was very offended by these comments that were made by Mahmoud Abbas. And in fact, just to remind people that the United States was one of the 45 countries who decided not to attend that United Nations session on the Nakba. And so they weren't present when these comments were made. Clearly, however, the comments have been filtered back to the U.S. representatives, and they've taken issue with that. Having said that, Linda Greenfield Thomas did use the opportunity also just to try and balance things up, also to be critical of some of Israel's actions, criticized, for example, the visit to the Temple Mount that was made by Itamar Ben-Gvir, and criticized certain other Israeli actions, just simply in an attempt to try and balance the playing field. But I think the message was pretty clear that the main purpose of those comments was really to be to be very offended and to express that offense by the comments that were made by Mahmoud Abbas.
Oh, fascinating. Absolutely fascinating, because the veneer or the veil is a very thin and transparent one, unfortunately. Three IDF soldiers have been sentenced to jail time for beating an Arab. What happened in the incident?
So, I mean, this is a very important story because these are serving IDF soldiers who apparently conspired together somehow to pick up an Arab person who was around the area where they were serving. They apparently physically assaulted him. And as a result of that, in fact, four IDF soldiers have been arrested. Three of them have been sentenced to jail time. The jail time has been determined as a result of a plea bargain which these three soldiers entered into with the IDF prosecution service, the military legal representatives who were looking at this case. We understand that this particular case couldn't really go to trial because there were some slight complications, potentially some information that might have been subject to military restriction, which couldn't have been revealed, and therefore a plea bargain was found to be the most appropriate way of dealing with this case. But in spite of the fact that a plea bargain was reached, and generally speaking, a plea bargain is considered to be a slightly diminished sentence than the one that might have been handed down by a court of law if it had been allowed to go to trial. And yet, all three of these soldiers are going to be serving jail time for this transgression. And I think it's an important statement being made here. First of all, that, you know, not all IDF soldiers abide by the rules. There are very, very stringent rules about how people should be treated. Let's also remember that they operate under extremely difficult circumstances, with all kinds of people trying to intimidate them and trying to coax them into transgressing the very, very stringent rules of engagement that are laid down by the IDF. There are all kinds of tactics that are used to try and intimidate and coax our soldiers into doing something that might be considered to be slightly beyond the rules. And of course, all the cameras are ready to capture the moment when an IDF soldier might be filmed behaving inappropriately towards an Arab civilian, and it'll be on social media before you can say Jack Sprat. So all of that is something that's not reported, and I think that listeners need to be aware of the difficult conditions under which our soldiers serve. That doesn't excuse the fact that these three soldiers, and maybe another one, a fourth one who's still on trial, have been found guilty of behaving inappropriately. The military authorities have taken action. This is not acceptable, and to the extent that this kind of behavior is coming forward and is evident within the IDF, they will take action to imprison, to punish these soldiers appropriately for behaving in a way which is contradictory to the rules of the IDF.
And as you said, a very, very important story, because it also just shows that it's not tolerated, it is not accepted, and there are very, very real consequences. Anthony, tonight is Shavuot. What happens in Israel over this
time? It is Shavuot. Wow. I mean, Shavuot, we have the traditional Tikkun Leil Shavuot, which will happen tonight. And the Tikkun Leil Shavuot comes from the notion that when we celebrate the receiving of the Torah and Shavuot, that the Jewish people at the time didn't feel enough anticipation before the Torah was presented to the Jewish people. A little bit like a kid planning to go for a very important visit to a sweet shop or to some sort of a theme park, and the excitement that is generally generated before that event. And the feeling was that the Jewish people at the time didn't have that anticipation. And so we now have what we call Tikkun Leil Shavuot. It's a correction. It's making things right and doing things differently than what was done then, in order to somehow correct a mistake that was made in history. That's the tikkun, the correction that happens on the night of Shavuot. And of course, it results in people staying up all night and doing Torah learning, learning all about things. And it's not only limited to religious people. The amount of learning that happens in Israel tonight is indescribable, indescribable. The number of courses and the number of shiurim that are available to secular Jews and people like-minded and to religious.
I wasn't aware
and
of
certain
that,
places offer 10 tracks of learning, different subject matters, and different people giving the best Torah educators will be out there tonight. This is really the peak of their season. An amazing amount of learning that will go on tonight across the Jewish nation, no matter what their religious leanings are. Generally, people will stay up, wait until the early hours of the morning, go to pray, and of course to recite Megillat Rut, which is recited on Shavuot. And in Jerusalem in particular, during the early hours of the morning, the city suddenly comes alive, with people walking from every corner of Jerusalem, from wherever they've been doing their Torah learning all night, wherever they've been doing their Tikkun Leil Shavuot. They will be walking towards the Kotel in the early hours of the morning to go and do an early morning service, a tefillah, a prayer service, and of course to read the Megillah, the Book of Ruth. And so there is certainly an atmosphere and a feeling about Shavuot which is different from other days in the year. And of course we have to mention the cheesecake, because that's very important in the dairy product, which are traditional, not required by law, but very much traditional. And so we like to keep up our traditions, and of course food is very much part of our tradition. So tonight is really a big night in Israel with amazing, amazing activities and so much learning that goes on.
That's incredible. I actually had no idea. I know that, for example, Pesach, the night of the Seder, is very popular across all religious and non-religious Israelis. I didn't realize that Shavuot Tikkun Leil was as well. And I think that's just such an interesting angle to it. And I'm really pleased to hear it. Anthony Reicher, thank you. That's it from us. So apparently you are not with us next week, but you'll be back the Monday following. Is that correct?
I will. That's correct. I'm taking a week break from you guys now. You'll have a week break from me as well. I will be back on Monday, and Monday the 5th of June. And in the meantime, I wish you a great weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, a Chag Sameach, and I look forward to catching up with you upon my return in another 10 days from now.
Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom and a Chag Sameach.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.